home in Oakland on a gray, dreary day, the date being the 27th of December, 1984. And Ellen's going to share with us her written notes that she made as a nurse in World War I. Ellen, would you like to tell us more about it with your diary, please?
Well, I'll just read it along and you write down what you want. 1918, August. And then up at 4:30, waited till noon for the train for Dijon. At 2 p.m., officers called me Venus de Milo. You can leave that out. Reached Lyon, Lyons, whichever way it is, 3 a.m. on the Marseille Hotel Petit. Danced at Camp Covington. Sightseeing Cathedral Castle, Monte Cristo. Reached Nice at 2 a.m. to the Nigeria Hotel. Old Casino, Mount Brown, Little Italy, they called it. Train to Monte Carlo through the mountains, beautiful. Building saw Lauren Anderson. That was a friend of my sister's. Leave that out. Nice promenade, band concert, and a movie. Pearl in the House of Hate. Train 3 p.m. to Anop Village in the mountains. Train 4 a.m. to Dijon, moonlight on the mountains to Grenoble. Snowstorm, train to Lyon. To Lyon for Paris, arrive 7 p.m., Hotel Paris. You want all of this? You do. To hotel, Richmond Villa. Subway. Pantin de la Guerre, that was something. Mac, that was a friend that I got passed from the officer for Chateau Thierry, Napoleon's tomb. And then we went to Dana Castle and Bastille, Eiffel Tower, and the Seine River, train to Chateau Thierry, wooden crosses, that was sad, barbed wire trenches, to Reims, they called it Reims, city in the ruins, cathedral dugout, got shell rose window, inlay in Paris. Left Paris for Chillon. Home by truck. Yeah, we were on the truck floor. Miss Greeting scolded us for hospital, for something we did at the hospital. That was our head nurse. Waited all day for going home list. Captain Moore left. He was one of the nurses that I knew from Omaha. 50 girls transferred to 97, Unit 97. And we walked to Verdun. To Beaune by ambulance. The French hospital, signed up for Germany, Army of Occupation. To station 10 p.m., stopped at St. AIGNA and Agnon. Reach tour 7:30 p.m. Our duty on duty. Ladies ward. Walk to Julie Latour. That wasn't very far. On duty ward 11, contagious ward. Busy. And we're really busy. Theater, let's given by the boys. Many got home orders. 1919, that was. To tour with Gretchen, that was my friend. To base 27. Mary left, that's a girl I knew, for U.S. also 49 left. To board 41, nurses and civilians, the patients, both, I guess. To chateau made by the Romans, a cave made, watch with burn-up and leaving. Walk with Burnup, that was a boyfriend that we weren't allowed to go out with because he was a private, he wasn't an officer. Walked to Mount Bazan with Burnup again. Gretchen and Warner, that was her boyfriend. Well, home at 2 a.m., I don't know how we ever got by with that. To Trianon, traveling salesman, very good. To tour, to boys, to dinner. Burnup left, that's my boyfriend, by the name. To Trianon, stop thief. This was after the war, of course. Left tour to Paris. To dinner.
Well, Ellen, let's stop for just a minute. I'd like to ask you a couple questions.
Yeah.
When you talked of your hospital, how big was your hospital ward that you were working in? Do you remember?
Well, there were beds on both sides, and it was a long barracks. They were all barracks. I don't know how many we had in there. 30 or 40 sick, wounded men.
How many of medical personnel were assigned? You were the nurse in charge. Did you have corpsmen? How many corpsmen were helping you?
Oh, I can't.
There were some, though, huh?
Oh, there were corpsmen around, and I don't know. I can't say that I was in charge. There were several of us working our heads off part of the time.
Well, did you have plenty of supplies? Or were there a shortage of those, too?
A shortage of everything.
Well, what?
But we did get by with supplies.
Well, how about the food? Was it adequate, good, bad? Indifferent or what?
It was just eatable and that was about all.
How about those patients on a special diet? Were they?
I don't think they got a special diet.
They just ate what you had, huh?
Yes.
On the other tape, we were talking about the types of wounded. You said you were on a contagious ward.
I was for a while.
But
what was it they had? Was it diphtheria or something rather serious? And I was with them. I wasn't allowed out of the ward at all. I had to eat my meals right there with the...
You were isolated right along with them, huh?
Yes, I was. Of course, I wasn't allowed out. That was later, wasn't it?
Well, now, with the hospital laundry, for example, did the hospital wash it, or was it sent out to the city you were satellited on?
Well, I think the hospital had to do it all. I don't think the city helped us at all.
Because sometimes...
We didn't always have the best clean laundry. We couldn't change the sheets every day, certainly. I've kind of forgotten about that, but sometimes I know it wasn't good.
Well, your hospital saw, obviously, many types of patients. And what was the normal stay before they were either sent back to duty or sent back further to what we would call a general hospital in World War II, or back to the States?
Well, that's a question that's impossible to answer. They had to wait for trains, you know, and transportation. They were ready to go home, but they had to wait. And then later, well, even I later was sent down to Brest, and we had to wait there a week for transportation home, even when they were well enough to go.
Well, did we have hospital ships as such at that time? They just sent them on regular troop carriers?
Well, they turned over some of these. I don't know where they got. I went on the Imperator, and it was entirely army conducted and all. Isn't that funny? I can't remember much about how we got home. Well, we got home by boat, of course. And as soon as they could, they tried to take the men over to New York, and then they sent a lot of them out to Walter Reed, which was a government hospital.
Was that even then one of the largest governmental hospitals, Walter Reed?
Yes, I think so.
Well, let me turn you around just a little bit. Because we talked the other day, and when you went overseas, you went obviously by ship. Did you go in convoy?
Yeah, oh yes. And we had to change our route because there was a submarine that was following us and all ready to blow us up, so we had to change course very quickly.
Were any of the ships in your convoy lost, or were you able to get to, where'd you go, England, or did you go to France directly?
We went to England and stayed for a week, and then we had, it was a very dangerous crossing across the English Channel to get over to France.
Was that because, again, of the submarines?
Oh, yes.
How about the dirigibles that they had at that time? Were you bothered by them?
No.
Well, the parts of France that you visited in your diary, had they been pretty well destroyed through the war, or had they been some of it salvaged where they hadn't bombed it?
No, Paris. We went AWOL into Paris, another girl and I, and as I said, the army man met us and said, I'll give you 24 hours to get out. So we got out, and that's how it was, you know. Everybody wanted to go to Paris, but we didn't see much, naturally.
Well, since then, you have finally gotten to Paris, haven't you, later years?
Well, I took a trip to Paris, but I went primarily to go to Denmark. That was my mother's birthplace, but I stayed over in Paris a couple of days and then went on to Denmark.
Well, to refresh my memory, Ellen, how close was your base hospital to the actual combat zone?
I don't know in miles.
But could you hear the sounds reverberation?
There was a first aid station where they were taken right off the battlefield. And from there, we were the first army, large army base that would take them and take care of them. And of course they were pretty shot to pieces, a lot of them. A lot of them, those young men.
Trench foot was pretty bad then too, wasn't it?
Oh yes.
What was the biggest casualty? Was it from nervous collapse, trench foot, gunshot wounds, what?
Well, it was wounded and trench, living in the trenches. They practically lived in the trenches, you know, for quite a long time, and that affected their health. And then the average, you know, they had, some places they had so much flu that we were fortunate in a way because we didn't have much flu, but flu took a lot of the men. That was very shortly after the war, as I recall.
It was that horrible flu epidemic.
Yes.
And we didn't fight it then as we do combat it now.
Oh, it was terrible over here. We didn't, I told you, we didn't give the men their letters because they would write and say how many in the family had passed away here in this country with flu, and it got so the men became despondent naturally over there and doing nothing in their family over here dying.
Well, getting to the mail, was the mail service fairly adequate at that time? Did
you know,
fellows
really
get their mail?
It was, when I think of it. It seems to me we got letters. Of course, they were late, and we weren't always sure you would get them all, but we did get mail.
Well, on your writing to family and friends in the States, were your letters censored?
Oh, yes.
They had to go through a base censor, or was it censored at the hospital?
We couldn't close them. They censored them over there before they sent
them. Ellen, during World War II and the Korean War and Vietnam, I know we've had USO and camp shows. What about during World War I? What was for the entertainment of the hospitals and the troops?
I don't think there was much, but after the war was over, there were a few of the stars that came in and put on a show, but not many. It's too early.
Did your ambulatory patients ever try to entertain the other patients on the wards? Or anything
yes,
for the morale as such?
As I recall, they put on a show once. Pretty good.
Was it?
As I recall. See if I can find.
Well, let's go on with your diary. I've interrupted quite a bit now. Let's stop. We have you with about the first two groups of people returning to the States. And where are you now on your diary?
Well, in 1919, to Paris and to Versailles by train, and saw Marie Antoinette, and peace treaty signed, where the peace treaty was signed, and to the Louvre, wonderful paintings, to Alhambra in the evening. That was a movie, I think. Battle Creek, though, here I'm leaving France. This was 1919, and April arrived at Battle Creek. Just on duty, and there a Hall of Justice, and looked down to the Opera House, Castor and Pollock, and we saw a lot of things after the war was over.
Well, I'm going to jar your memory again. Where were you when you heard the armistice? Was not the false armistice, but the real armistice.
Well, the false armistice was one day, and there, all the men went out and got drunk. And then the next day, the armistice was signed, and half of them were still under and didn't know that. Well, so that was over there.
Well, as a result, did everybody think now we're going home in about 2 hours, that type of thing?
But we were in camp quite a while, and then we had to go down to Brest's, and we waited a week there, just roaming around, and people did try to entertain us a little, but we had to wait for the boat, you know, because we couldn't take everybody home.
Well, now, your hospital itself, was it alerted then to go into the Army of Occupation, or did it terminate its tour of duty and come back to the States?
Well, the Army of Occupation was another place. I've forgotten just where they kept that. Down near the ocean.
Was Paris truly the city of light?
We weren't in it enough to know much about it.
Were blackouts observed during World War I as strongly as they were during World War II, in England especially?
Well, of course I wasn't in England.
No, but I mean in France during the war, were the blackouts observed?
Not especially, no.
You didn't have wardens going around saying, douse your lights and pull your curtains, things like that. When was the first time you were aware of air type of combat? Did you have any of the airmen come through your hospital?
We didn't have much doing about air at that time, the First World War.
All right, I've got another question for you. I seem to be finding everything you say, I think I've got another question, and this is a good one. Had you thought when you had served your time with the nurses that you would like to stay in the Army as a military nurse?
No, I didn't.
Why?
Well, I didn't care for military life, actually. And I came home, and we came out to California, and I was very fortunate because I got it into public health work. And after spending 3 years as a nurse, training to be a nurse, I got out of the nurse, and then I was put on a case with one woman, and I sat there and just watched her, had almost nothing to do, and I said, that's not for me, so I got out of that as quickly as I could, and then I had the chance to get into public health work. I had to go a year to get my degree, so I wasn't really an actual bedside nursing much at all.
But you really fulfilled more by being a public health nurse. You kept a service to others through that particular field of nursing.
But it wasn't my life just to sit around and take care of one patient. That wasn't me.
Well,
so I was fortunate.
Yeah. Two more questions and I'm going to ask you to sing along with me. When you left New York Harbor, can you remember your feelings when you saw the Statue of Liberty?
Well, I cried.
Join me. Okay, now let's look at it coming back.
That's when I cried.
Both times or just when you came back?
Oh, going out. No, I was all full of this idea of going to France and taking care of the wounded. I didn't cry at all. I was just excited and anxious to get over there and get at it, but coming back, so glad to get home, and that Statue of Liberty does something to me anyhow when I look at it.
You're a big marshmallow too, huh? No, it's something to see her standing there waiting for you.
Yes.
Isn't it though?
It's just a beautiful thing to have. And I think so much of our country in so many ways, and that the different times I've seen it, I've always cried or felt like it, one or the other.
Maybe you're one of these people that when the flag goes by, you get a lump in your throat, too.
I do. I certainly do.
Well, there are smiles that make us happy. There are smiles that make us blue.
There are smiles that have a tender meaning
that the eyes of love or love may see.
And the smiles that the styles that Eve wore in the garden are the styles that appeal to me. Didn't you ever sing that?
No. Can you sing it all the way? Start
the
beginning. Just those two lines?
Yes.
All right.
That's what we used to sing.
All right. How about Casey Wood Waltz with a Strawberry Blonde?
I don't know that one.
You don't?
Well, you sing it.
No. How about smile the while you kiss me, sad adieu, when the clouds roll by, I'll come to you, and the skies seem more blue, down in lover's lane, my dearie, wedding bells will ring so merrily, every tear will